Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
You're listening to Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. We thank you for tuning in and hope you enjoy another exciting episode of our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. It's the six-man Dean Geronimo. We got storms up here in Jersey, so it's a little behind time with 5 minutes delayed, but better to be delayed than to be denied. So we're here, and from NJ to NC, I'm in the studio with my right-hand man, Mark Lee. So, Mark, tell me what's good in your neck of the woods, my brother.
You know, we're keeping busy, got 1,001 things going on as always, you know, jumping and going, all of that. I did get a chance to actually go to work at HTAC this weekend, so, you know, it's been a minute since I've been doing that. I did the poetry a couple of weeks ago, but now I actually, they had a dance incentive, so I actually went to the dance incentive, and, you know, they had maybe about 10 or so people learning how to do African dance, African drumming, and all of that, and it was truly amazing. So it was just great seeing the people there, but everything. But you know, we've been hit here in Durham because we've been hit. I don't know what's going on there in your neck of the woods, but that Delta variant ain't no joke. It's had some increases in spikes in numbers. So as of 5 o'clock, we are back to a mask mandate. So we are actually being told that we got to wear masks when we're indoors, not necessarily be at home or things of that nature, but go to indoor facilities. You are expected to wear a mask.
Yeah, they told us that last week here in Jersey, and the way it's going, we got notified by September the 7th, they're going to require that all state employees be vaccinated or face multiple tests per week. So, you know, it's gotten to the point now where they're like, listen, we heard about the Delta variant. Now it's here, and it's doing some things. So, you know, hey, it's like, you know what? We got to do something. So even the federal government, man, is requiring, I know the military is going to require all troops to be vaccinated by September 15th.
Right.
So, you know, they're doing this everywhere now. So those who had apprehensions and still have not gotten vaccinated, they're getting ready to make it a condition, looks like a condition of employment. So they got to be real careful about saying, you know, we understand it is a choice, but we also understand that this COVID-19 is taking a whole lot of people out. It's not discriminating about race, sex, gender, none of that stuff that we argue about. So now what are we going to do? And that's just the big million-dollar question. What are we going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? And all of that stuff. So we got to figure out all of that. And we've also got to figure out how we're going to handle this situation, because it's just crazy, you know. And I just heard today, because I interviewed a candidate there for our general mayor, who was actually running under the Republican Party. But I just interviewed her and everything, and she was actually got a public health background. So she was telling me that there's another variant called the Lambda variant out there as well. So, you know, there's some other variants that we got to deal with as well. So, you know, people think we got to do this whole thing and everything, and we are far from it. So it looks like there is other things that we're going to have to contend with as well. And she even said there might be a fourth variant out there that we haven't heard about at all. So, like I said, there are various variants out there. And, of course, people just got to do what they supposed to have been doing all along, which is what you said on this show several times, which is, you know, follow the rules, get vaccinated, mask up, do social distancing, and wash your hands. Which, you know, sometimes people don't even like to wash their hands when they're not sick or anything along those lines. But we've got to get real in all of that and have to understand that, you know, I know we all want to open up and we all want to do the right thing, but at the same time, we might have to do it the slow roll way and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, we need to continue to educate ourselves about what this actually is. I saw in the news and I had it queued up and I'm trying to find it, but it's a whole family that ended up passing away because of the misinformation out there. So they were like, you know what? We're not going to vaccinate because we don't know what's in it. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that and I'm like, all right, well, your choice. But at the same time, you're still going outside. You're still going places. You're still doing what you would normally do before this thing hit this world. You know what I mean? And the whole family just gone. A whole family.
Gone.
Like, not just one person. The whole family. It's like four of them. So I'm like, okay, at what point are we going to stop arguing amongst, you know, but some people are attacking. I'm like this. If you don't get the vaccine, that's on you. But.
Exactly. Just be
I'm
quiet.
Not gonna,
all of that.
Right. Just, you know, here it is. Okay. I found it. But I'm like, man, I'm not going to boss you to get the, just, I pray to God that I don't get it. You know, and that's the thing that, you know, folks, I'm not going to beat anybody or browbeat anyone into getting something. But this thing says COVID wipes out anti-vaxxers. Mom, dad, and brother die after being scared by misinformation. So Francis Gonclave's brother Shaw, 40, the 73-year-old father Basil, and mom Charmaine, 65, all started to feel unwell on the weekend of July 10th, a few days after having a meal together. They did not get their coronavirus vaccines because they had been scared by anti-vaccination misinformation. And within 2 weeks of their symptoms starting, they had all passed away. Francis wants to share his heartbreak to encourage others to have their jabs rather than be put off by conspiracy theories. They got caught up in a lot of the anti-vaccination propaganda that's going around, Francis told Wales Online. So these are all, they're in England. But it preys on people who are afraid and they fall into the trap. The message I want to get out is, why would the government want to hurt you by giving you a vaccine? What is the purpose behind it? I've spoken to so many people who are terrified of the vaccine and it costs lives. Francis believes his dad, Basil, contracted COVID-19 when he went to the hospital on July 6th for kidney stones. 2 days later, Basil and Charmaine had dinner at Shaw's house, and the three family members soon started feeling poorly. They all tested positive and were admitted to the hospital. Francis, who lives in Cardiff, flew back to Portugal to be with his family as soon as his dad was admitted. Francis said, I spoke to my brother every day, and we couldn't get a hold of my father. He had a little bit of battery life available on his phone on a Tuesday morning, and I managed to ask him how he was doing, but he didn't have a charger. It was very difficult for me to get hold of him in a country I couldn't speak the language. My brother was finding it frustrating to get in touch with my parents as well, but he managed to get through to my mother on the Wednesday, which was when my father was put into an induced coma and moved to ICU. Meanwhile, my brother's mucus had changed from green to brown, and I told him to be very careful because that could be a sign of pneumonia. From then, he deteriorated, and when I managed to speak to him, I could tell there was definitely something wrong with him. I started pushing my plans to get up there faster. But heartbreakingly, as Francis waited for the COVID test results he needed to be able to fly out to Portugal, he received a text saying his brother had also been rushed to the hospital. On July 17th, I had a message at 8:08 p.m. to say Shaw had been rushed off to the hospital in the ambulance. I spoke to his girlfriend and she was really worried. Then at about 1 a.m., I received a call from her saying that she had been told he had passed away that evening. Francis said his brother was the healthiest person he knew and believes the vaccine would have saved his life, adding, if he wasn't working out in the gym or running, he was going on walks. He hadn't drunk in 15 years and ate a whole foods, plant-based diet. With his brother being Francis's only means of contacting his parents, Francis had to get a hold of a law firm in Portugal to help him out. The firm contacted the hospital on his behalf and passed on his contact details. Devastatingly, on Tuesday, July 20th, the hospital called Francis to say his father had also died. So the next day, Francis finally managed to get up a flight to Portugal to see his mother and to make arrangements for dad and brother. When he arrived, he discovered his mother, who had a number of underlying health issues, including an autoimmune disease, was struggling to cope with the virus. He said, on the Wednesday, I traveled through to Portugal after getting my PCR test results, and I managed to find out more about my mother. She was also in an induced coma. They allowed me to go and see her, which was already a sign that things were not going well, and I had to dress up in full PPE. Then on Saturday, July 24th, I received a phone call from the doctor saying that they were in a situation where they had tried everything, and the next couple of hours would be critical. Later that evening, I received a call to say she had passed away. Now, a week later, on August 1st, all three members of the family were buried next to each other at a cemetery in Lisbon called São João, where a section is dedicated to COVID-related deaths. So here it is. You know, and it goes on to say a little more. I'm not reading this whole thing because it's kind of long, but you get the point of it. It's like, you know, you listen to the folks that tell you, oh, this and that. You can still get it if you had it. Yeah, we know that's possible. That's just like you can still get the flu once you've gotten a flu shot. That's just like common sense. You know what I mean? But at the same time, hey, man. It's better to have gotten the vaccine and get yourself a little safer than not having it at all. Now, this brother has lost, well, he lost his brother, his mom, and his dad all at the same time. Wow.
Wow. That shit's crazy.
Out of control. Because you look at it and you say,
but you know, damn. But you got a lot of folks that are still buying into these conspiracy theories. I was actually on the Well, I was actually talking to somebody, and they told me some of the things that they believe about magnetics and things that might be going into our system and things of that nature. But then I was also on Clubhouse, you know, become a Clubhouse app, a fan and everything. And there was some people that sounded basically sane, but they were given these different reasons, including, you know, one lady was talking about how there were things that they didn't understand that were in this vaccine and that it could do crazy things, and one person was talking about that it makes us into transhumanoids and you have lost your human rights. I thought that was going way out there in terms of what they could say and everything. But definitely just interesting that some of the ideas that people are coming up about why they're not taking the vaccine, and also those are the reasons as to why people aren't wearing the mask. Now, I get some people have certain limitations with the mask. I get masks, and there are people that have legitimate reasons that they can't wear a mask. So the masking, I'm not holding them as much. But some of these other theories, I'm going like, say what?
You know what, man? It's just amazing how people get to these conclusions. It's like, are you really serious? I don't know where you got that information from. But to repeat it, especially to say, you know, it makes you subhuman or whatever the humanoid and all of this stuff. It's like, are you really serious? Do you know what the hell you just said? That makes no logical sense at all. It makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder, man, like, does somebody need to be slapped? Or does somebody need to be slapped?
But speaking of somebody needs to be slapped, and you know they're not that far from it. Is Mr. Cuomo going to leave office, or are they going to push him out? He's gone at the end of this week, and so it's the sister girl from Buffalo who got to invite Mr. President on there. He can tell us more about the lady from Buffalo because she's a lieutenant governor. But what's the deal? Are we going to have Mr. Cuomo out of office, and who's going to take over his place? If he gets out before the election, it'll definitely be the lieutenant governor, who's this young lady out of Buffalo. But if not, and people jump into the race, or if he decides not to run, it sounds like it could be a wide open race, and there could be several people in the New York area that might be looking at the race. But you're up there in the area, so what are you hearing as to where is it heading with this formal situation? And the fact that 11 women come out and said that he broke them or did something to them or some sort or another.
Well, they're still calling for his resignation, and he's like, right now, I don't see him doing that. You know what I mean? I just don't. But
I don't see him.
I don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
They can sit there and complain and say, you know, you need to leave and you need to do this and do that. But, hey, man, it doesn't seem like he's going to leave anytime soon. Now, he may eventually get to that point, you know, where he's tired of people, like, getting on his damn nerve, and he might say, you know what, it's time, I'm done. Y'all can just jump off the bridge and leave me alone. But I just don't see it happening right now. I don't.
I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening either. It's just a mystery to me as to how he would even attempt to do it. But, you know, you got the folks out there that saying that they want him to go and all of that. I'm going like, well, where's he going? I don't get it. But along those
right.
same lines, you know, on the opposite side of the country, we got Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is saying, I think basically the same thing. Cause they, you know, they're talking a recall election. I don't think he's just going to, like, just go out without a fight. But I heard he's down 10% in California, and that's a pretty Democratic area. So I'd be surprised if he lost, but, you know, they did elect Arnold Schwarzenegger. But Arnold Schwarzenegger also had a Democrat in Miss Marie Shriver behind him and all of that, and she's part of the Kendrick plan. So he had, you know, both the best of both worlds, brilliant, both Republican and a Democrat in his family. So I definitely can see why he won. But outside of that, I just don't see Mr. Newsom, one, giving up the seat, and two, I just can't see him losing, even though I did hear some polls that said he was down 10%, because apparently the people in California are mad at the way he's handling the pandemic, the way he's handling the fires, and the way he's just handling California.
All that government stuff is real strange, man. It's just like, it's always something. It can never be just, you know, people being on the level, man. I don't know what it is, but they just can never get it together. Or maybe it's like, I'm trying to keep the drama going. I don't know what it is. Somebody needs to tell me something.
Maybe we need to have somebody listening and call us and tell us what they think is going on with government and why government is acting wrong. Because I know we've got government people on both sides that have been on the show before, Republicans and Democrats. And I actually think that you're right. If both of them are acting crazy. You know, you've heard me use the phrase "such on stupid" when we talk about the fact that the minimum wage is $7.95 in the year 2021 or whatever it is. I know it's seven something, but that's stuck on stupid. And maybe you've got to be stuck on stupid in order to get into politics. So maybe that's one of the keys, is that in order to get into politics, you got to be stuck on stupid and all of that. But let's hope not. Running for office. So let's hope not. Like I said, I know we've had Leonardo on at least once or twice, and he's running for office. The guy that owns Zwelly, and he's running for city council, and we had Pierce on, and he's actually stepping down from city council. He's had enough. He had one term, and he's like, I'm out. So he's not going to run for the election, but he is endorsing the gentleman, the AJ. It might be Williams or something like that. But they are definitely running into it. And Pierce had held and all of that. So let me take the test of the program that have been on our show. So maybe they can come on and tell us why they're giving politics. They usually come in because they see a need for something, and they'd be interested in hearing what people got to say and to solve these needs. But I agree with you. Sometimes you just sit there going like, well, did y'all get stuck on stupid? And so could you please get unstuck?
Please get unstuck. Do something, because this is ridiculous. It's always something, man. They just can't get it together, if that's what you want to call it. You know.
Yeah, they can't get it together at all. You can be sitting there going like, what did y'all do? Did y'all fuck with it? Did you not want to get it together? I just don't get it. But some of these people just be losing their mind. Speaking of losing their mind, I think that the Japanese girls must have lost their mind because they thought that they were going to beat our women in basketball, because I did watch that girl, they didn't even look close, you know. And as one person said, you can't defend size, and, you know, our girls were much taller than the Japanese girls. And I know the Japanese girls are known for their 3-point shooting and all of that, but they just couldn't hang in there with our girls, and therefore they got basically, in my mind, slaughtered. But like I said, it was an exciting game in there, but it was not a close game, unlike the game between the man. Well, even that game was a slaughter, because, you know, they were using our professional basketball players, actually using professionals in both sides, but, you know, the guys, Durant and him going up against Australia, that wasn't close either. Even though I sometimes got the feeling that they tried to make it close by doing, letting them stay in the first half. So, like I said, you always know it was Australia or Spain. They were always close to the first half, and then I think in the second half, you know, Popovich and the rest of the game, Durant and them were like, all right, we're done playing with them. Let's just go ahead and end this thing right now. Because the second half, it usually wasn't close at all. But they come in and let them at least think that they had a shot.
Yeah. True.
You know how you used to do back in your sports days? You know, sometimes you knew you had an opponent that you just knew you were supposed to beat. You might play with them in the first half. You know, that's basically what they were special this time, so they played them. You let them think that they got a shot in the first half, and then you wear them out because usually you're bigger, faster, and conditioning gets in the way and all of that. So, like I said, you know, that's the way this game is played when you're playing with your opponent. Sometimes you just let them think that they've got a shot, but if they don't, if you don't let that go into the third and the fourth quarter, so you let go into the third and fourth quarter, they might actually start believing it, and then you might start doubting yourself. But a lot of times, if you are the superior team and you go ahead and you establish that in the third quarter, it's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to be careful now because the game ain't never over until the clock hits zero. So when you think it's over and you start easing up off the gas, then if the others press the gas and get past you, it's very easy to turn a win into a loss.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that's a hell in itself.
Well, the worst hell is when you lose to a team that you know you're superior to and that you are, because then you got to put up with it both by your fan base and everybody else. And I'm thinking about, like, who was it that, this was years ago, the Dominion beat and everything. So, you know, we got to like Dominion and then their management beat folks. And he's been sitting there, you know, people were rushing to their Google and their, you know, different other tools of resources trying to figure out what the heck a Chaminade was, but who a Chaminade was, or where the college was based at. So, you know, when you lose things like that, or even a couple of times that a 15 is lost to a 2 in NCAA, or now we've had a 16-1 lose as well. But when those things happen, you got to live that all year long and for the rest of your life. Because you just know that every time that happens, someone gets back. You know, every time that team that lost to Chaminade goes out somewhere, or somebody, and then that person went off to become a successful business speaker and everything, and they mentioned their college that they went to. The first thing that everybody's going to be like is, ain't you the team that Chaminade?
Yeah, keep trying it. You will find out. You shall find out. And you don't want to find out the hard way. You know what I mean?
No, you do not want to find out the hard way. You do not want to find out the hard way at all. How are things going in the NCAA? What are we hearing about that and everything?
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of, like, I said NCAA, I mean, NFL. Because I was talking to somebody that told me that they are thinking that your team is not going to finish in first place. I told them they were wrong because we all know that you are always right, and therefore Baltimore will finish in first place. But they were telling me that they actually think that Pittsburgh is going to finish in first place. So they were giving Pittsburgh a lot more credit than you're giving Pittsburgh. So I was just wondering your thoughts as to the team of football, I mean, football and NFL, and whether your Ravens are going to win.
I don't care about any other team except for the team that's down there in Baltimore. So when they say they believe Pittsburgh is going to end up in first place, they're probably a Steelers fan, and that's their right to believe that their team is going to make it to a certain level. But as far as any other team that steps on that field, no matter what state they're in, I don't care about. I'm looking for my team to do some good things. I'm not going to try to predict anything because it's like, why? You know what I mean? Are we going to go this? You don't know that. I'm looking for an outstanding season. That's what I'm looking for. And as long as my team can take the field every game, then we're going to have a good season. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Y'all are going to have a good season one way or the other because your team is going to show up, and that's what counts.
That's it. You know, as long as you show up and you leave it all on the field, man, that's the only thing that I can ask. Having, you know, played the sport before and people have expectations about everything, But you don't, unless you know what it's like to prepare every week for those games, and then you may think that you have a certain advantage, but then you'll find out that you really don't. And then that makes you, you know, you'll push harder, but you got to be careful because you may think a team is like, oh, this is an easy win. And as soon as the first whistle blows, they come out and they will surprise you and or embarrass you. So you got to be real careful about saying, you know, oh, we got this in the bag. We can take care of this and we can handle it, because it's not necessarily so. You know?
That's true. It's definitely not necessarily so, and all of that, and wrestling, that's an important thing, and all of that. Speaking of important things, and I definitely want to give this shout out to a good friend of ours that is trying to make it to a concert, and you know, he's got a fundraiser going on, and that is my friend Zach Robinson, your friend as well, but he is trying to make it not this coming week, but the following weekend, to the Funk and Soul Festival held there in Maryland. So, you know, he's got to get the money to get the band and himself there. So there is a GoFundMe campaign. So definitely this is going to be a great festival, and he wants to perform there. He's already been advertised as performing there. But there is a GoFundMe campaign to help him get there. So the folks can go to GoFundMe.com, help us send this great band to Funk and Soul Fest. We would love for that to happen. So definitely look up GoFundMe, and they look up, help us send this great band to Funk and Soul Fest. And they also check out under, because I know you can also check under GoFundMe, under the names of the people that are doing the account, look up Jack Simply. Jack Simply is the one that is helping Zach put together this campaign. So definitely trying to get some money. And I know they've already raised a couple of $100s to go, but, you know, he needs to help pay the band, get the funds and all of that. So if anybody can contribute, you know, as we said on Brian's show, and as we said on a couple of other things, no amount too small, no amount too great either. So if anybody wants to cover the whole cost, I'm sure that would just solve the problem really quickly. But definitely, you know, he's been doing a lot of work in the field, and we need to show our love and our support. So I did promise him that I would give that a shout-out. So hopefully folks are checking this out, and they will definitely get over there and check out what is happening in that regard as well. So definitely keep that in mind, that we're trying to get this man to the Funk and Soul Fest. And, you know, Dean, if you get to go there, you get some crabs, because it's a crab festival as well. So they're going to have some crabs. They're going to have some good food. They're going to have some music. They're going to have the whole nine yards. And I think the crabs, if you get the crabs, it might be a more expensive ticket. But if you're in the seafood, it sounds like there's going to be plenty of good crabs to eat there. And I don't know about you, but I like my seafood, so I would have no problem with that in the least bit. So it does sound like that is something going on in that regard.
Well, you know what? Seafood is good, man. On the 28th of this month, I'll be headed down to Maryland for the lobster, shrimp, and crab feast down there. So we're going to take that little trip. Just got back from my hometown, man. Wanted to shout out the Positively Unique Class of 1991, Petersburg High School, Petersburg, Virginia. That is my graduating class. We just celebrated 30 years. To all my classmates, Friday, Saturday and Sunday was awesome. So make sure that y'all keep it real and keep it tight, because we're going to be right back for the Live at 35. So Lord willing, we'll see each other again. Love y'all.
Hey, that sounds great. You know, I hate to say this, but I think that there might have been a couple of reunions of the class of 1980s. You know, I've already been to a couple of graduations, but I think we've only had one or two, and there's been a couple of times, you know, life got in the way, people didn't plan stuff, other things didn't happen, and I have yet to make a reunion yet, so I need to do that. So I know that there are probably some people out there, there's not some people out there. John Graham, class of 1980, you know, we only got 4 years, so the year after the next Olympics, so the next Olympics will be in 2024, so we've only got another 4 years before we will be celebrating 45 years since we graduated. Man, that seems like a long time ago, but that 4 years is a short time away. So, class of 1980, John Graham, if y'all are listening, I need y'all to get in touch with me so that we can have the kind of fun that Dean had at his party and all of that. And I know that there would have been at least a reunion or two, just with my scheduling, my craziness, I did not make them. But This one, 45 and definitely 50, I'm going to try to make you. But we are, you know, time flies. I mean, I even vaguely remember what was going on in high school and definitely college. But people are listening here associated with Marquette University. We're also coming up on one of those as well. I graduated December of 84. So that means that in 3 years, we'll be having our 40th anniversary there from Milwaukee.
Wow.
And college and everything. So definitely time is flying. But I can even vaguely remember some of the things that I was doing in those college days and those high school days. So, you know, I maintained a little bit of my wit with me and all of that, or a lot of my wit. So I remember some of those moments. And, of course, some of those people have moved on in terms of going into the ancestral lands. But, you know, as you said, God willing, definitely want to be at a 40-year for the class of, well, that would be, what I say, 45 for the class of 80. So I definitely want to be at a 45th. For the class of 80, if we can make it to 2025, and I would love it to be for a 40th for the class of 84 in terms of college and all of that. So definitely would love to be at one or both of those and everything. But we might need some people to help me plan it, because like I said, I am an event planner, so I don't mind being part of the event planning team. So if anybody's listening and they want to give me a call, we can make this thing happen and all of that, because I do believe that that's a great way for folks to have that connection and all of that. But my question to you is, was it any people that surprised you that you were really glad that they were doing some positive things in the community that you may not have known about, and you may have forgotten about when you went to that union? Because what I hear from unions, and when I had family unions, and when I see other people even doing business reunions or reconnecting with people, that is always how they remember is the things that they've got going on in their community. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the people that you reflected on and that you got to hang out with and spend that time with from your high school class.
Well, a lot of us are connected by way of social media, so I see all of the positive things that, you know, my classmates are doing. It was just great to see everybody face-to-face. It's different when you're sending a message, a text message, a phone call, a voicemail, or something like that. But when you're there face-to-face and you can fellowship, you know what I mean? And that was the biggest thing. You know, it was no oh wow moments, because we had the 10th, we had the 20th, we had a 25th, now we're having a 30th. So, you know, being able to just get together and all of those things that we came back to today, we were able to leave behind for a few days and just fellowship and enjoy each other's company. And we also recognize the 11 individuals who are now departed from us. And, you know, while we miss them, we know that they were there in spirit with us as well. So, you know, just being able to, like I said, fellowship, have a good time, and enjoy each other. And until we see each other again, you know, now they're talking about having something at the 2-year mark, you know, and maybe the 5-year mark, but we'll see how that goes, and you know, we'll see what comes of it. But it was an awesome weekend, man, and I can't complain.
It sounds like an awesome weekend, but Jimmy, what would you what do you think that they would say you did?
Are you saying if I could talk to teenage me?
If a teenage you could talk to you now, what do you think they would have warned you about or talk?
If the teenage me couldn't warn me now about nothing, because I didn't know nothing back then. You know what I mean? Now you flip it around. If you flip it around, then I would have said, you know what? The good people are good people. It doesn't matter who it is and all that. Because back then, a lot of people, if I didn't know you, I didn't talk to you. I had not much conversation for you. And then, you know, being able to handle situations, I didn't handle them as well as I handle them now. So there's some things that I would teach my younger self if I had to do it all over again. But I wouldn't want to do it all over again from that young of an age. You know what I mean? If they said you had to rewind your life, then I got to come back forward to about 21 and just stay there forever, because it was at that point, you got your friends from high school. I have my friends from college. So, you know, some people I still have met along the way, but the core group came from those two places, Petersburg High School and Virginia State University, where last year we celebrated 25 years of the class of 1995. So, you know, we couldn't do much because of the COVID. So hopefully in four more years, we'll have the 30th from the land of Troy, and everybody will descend on Virginia State University, and we'd be able to do it again. And at that point, I'll be doing 35 with my high school class. So, you know, you look at things now, and, you know, those are things that you end up paying attention to, that at 18, 17, going on 18, I was like, all right, I'm going to college. Yeah, okay. You know, and you really didn't think about the friends that you kind of grew away from, and some of those other people now coming back around, you realize that, you know what, these are some damn good people right here, and I'm proud to be in the midst of them. It's not about me, it's about us, and we can enjoy each other while this world is doing whatever it wants to do, and you can turn on the news and find out how crazy the world is. But at the same time, just being able to forget all of this stuff, and we're not 16, 17 anymore. You know, we've added a few decades to that, but it's still all love, you know. And some people, unfortunately, couldn't make it. But with technology, we were able to get them, like, on FaceTime and be able to – they were able to still see some of us. So they were there, but they weren't physically there. But we'll see them in 5 years so they could be there. So if anybody from the positively unique class of 1991, Petersburg High School, Petersburg, Virginia, is listening right now, just block out your calendar for some part of the summer. We'll get a date to you, but you know in 5 years you got somewhere to be. It's just the six-man team, Geronimo, giving you a little heads up.
They got the heads up. They know that they got somewhere to be. They know they got a party to get to and all of that. You know,
yes,
I have a pleasure, not just past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, of having a good friend of mine come in, speaking to folks that she's known for years and all of that. Another of my good buddies, Ronnie Warner. Ronnie Warner is the filmmaker that did the film this Christmas, that he's coming into town to visit his mom. Came all the way in town off of, like, I think he bought his RV to come here. You know, he came to pick up his regular car and everything, but he, you know, came all the way, literally drove from, you know, the land of La La, Hollywood and all of that, to North Carolina in the small town of Hillsboro to visit his mom and everything, and then he's back with the family and go all the way back as well. I need to reach out to him and see what he's got going on and all of that. So what he's totally working on, and I think it's something that definitely people will be interested in, if he is getting together a movie about mental health in our community. I think it's going to be American, because that's the land he lives in. He doesn't do much in the health or anything hardly at all in the documentary field, but it's going to be American. So definitely, if you haven't talked about the importance of mental health, you definitely saw Naomi Osaka bring it up, Simon Simone Biles bring it up, and a number of other people bring it up, and yet we just got to talk about it throughout the year, because, you know, we hate our doctors, we hate our doctors, we don't even like our dentists, and we really are not just saying of our therapist, even though we all probably need one, particularly with everything that African-Americans have been through. But I do know there's definitely Ronnie has got some projects that he's already been filmed, and he's just got to, you know, do some editing, do some other things, and of course deal with that lovely thing called financing and get it financed. But it does sound like sometimes, I won't say this year, but possibly in 2022, if not the latter part of this year, we're going to see a movie about mental health within our community. So I just wondered, as one that works in the prison system, your thoughts about the importance of mental health.
Well, I don't necessarily equate it to the prison system and mental health, period. I mean, when you look at it, there's the pros and the cons on both sides. Sometimes it's being labeled for ignorant behavior. And, you know, when someone does something that's nonsensical, I would say, somebody said, oh, mental health is real, but don't put it on everything. But at the same time, for those who do have mental health issues, don't be too proud that you refuse to get help. Because once you get past a certain threshold that you can't take it and you start reacting in a certain way, everybody ends up suffering. So it's something that's, yes, it is real. Yes, it does have many faces. But those that have those real issues have to, you know, get to a place, because everybody can tell you that you need to get this, you need to get that, but you have to be at a point where you're ready to receive what's being given. You know what I mean? People just don't wake up and it's like, oh, some people do. They're like, something's wrong, I need to get it checked out. And then there are others who are not as swift to get those things checked out, looked at, talked about. They may feel like it's a sign of weakness. They may be embarrassed. But we have to get to a point where we start taking care of ourselves, because when you start thinking about it and you think about people who are actually no longer here, and you realize that we ain't that old. And I say ain't because we ain't.
Yeah.
But some things, could it have been done differently? Could it have been treated? Could it have been avoided? We don't know. But when we talk about mental issues, really, we really need to get serious about that, because some people have left too early because of issues that they maybe were not able to handle. You know what I mean?
Yep, definitely. And definitely that's what people got to do. They've got to deal with those issues and got to deal with a lot of the ways that they're going to handle them. But we're also seeing a lot of the people that are homeless that are also talking about mental illness as well, and how that has impacted their deciding to be homeless. Because sometimes there are some of the factors that are involved in it. That is also the ways that the veterans have been treated in mental illness, the way that other segments of society have been treated in mental illness. So I definitely believe that mental illness can be a real thing, but it can also, like you said, be a crutch. And some people can also be using it as a crutch because they don't want to get out there and do what they're supposed to be doing in terms of either dealing with it or in terms of finding correct treatment and things of that nature. So I do know that it can be used as a crutch as well, but I'm not going to dismiss it because I've actually seen folks that are wrong to different aspects of it, and I know that it can be a very real ailment for folks, and it can definitely be a very devastating illness for a lot of folks as well, depending on how they are being treated. And even sometimes I don't know that the police or the medical professionals always know how to deal with people, because like I said, you know, the old days of straight jackets and shock therapy are not that far away. I mean, they were not that long ago, and I think there's probably still some people that are practicing those kind of thoughts, and I don't think that that's the way to handle mental illness or mental things. But there are probably some doctors throughout the world that are still using those kind of scare tactics and things along those lines. So definitely, even though it's, I think, overall, you know, known mostly by most people that those were not successful and not ways to do it, I'm afraid that there are probably still people out there practicing those kind of ways. And I definitely believe that we've got to have that wellness mentality where we're trying to be connected spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and all of the aspects that make us a being and being. But sometimes folks don't see that, and they want to do scare them.
I wonder who told these folks that those ways, I guess back then, they seemed like they weren't, I don't know, I don't want to say crazy, but, you know, you figure you're going to shock somebody into being normal. At what point do you feel that that's going to work when you're frying their brain up? I'm just, you know, I just want to ask somebody, like, how dumb, y'all just seem kind of dumb back then to do something that stupid and say, you know what, yeah, we're going to go ahead and fry this brain and they're going to be fine. You know, like, are you fucking kidding me? You know what I'm saying?
It's almost along those same lines, and I agree with you, because it's almost along the same lines. You know me, I'm very fairly liberal in my politics and definitely consider myself liberal to moderate, but I'm not going to sit there and try to do immersion therapy or some of these other weird things that people have where they feel that they're going to get people out of their belief systems if they are, you know, they're gay or something like that. I'm not going to sit there and do some kidnapping and think that I'm going to change their ways, because I figure that if they have that lifestyle, they got that lifestyle for a reason. Something to do, whether it was, whether you want to believe it was environmental or whether you want to believe that it was hereditary, something caused them to go in that direction. And I don't think that some sort of immersion or shock therapy is going to change them. Like I said, I had the pleasure of interviewing, I think it was a couple of months ago, somebody that said they went through that and they were grabbed and they claimed that they've been converted. But I'm sitting there going, like, I don't think so. I think probably in the back of your mind, you still got some of those thoughts know, going on, and even though you might have a wife and a family and you might be out there ministering against it, I still think that you probably still got some of those things in you, because I personally think that it's something that's within the makeup of people. But you got some folks out there that think they're going to kidnap somebody and change them, and I just don't buy that.
You know what? I'm not even trying to go that damn deep, because I am not their creator. So when you look at it and somebody says I'm this way or I'm that way or whatever it may be, man, I got to take you at your word. What you like is what you like. You know what I mean? I can't sit there and say, oh, you need this therapy or you need that, because when it comes down to it, it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. Good people are good people. And it doesn't matter to me what you like outside of what we agree that we both like. You know, like all that other stuff, I'm not worried about that. If that's your thing, hey, man, that's your thing. That's not mine. I got a different thought process on it, and I'm going to go ahead and keep it moving. You know, like, but some folks just believe that, hey, you know, it's wrong and you shouldn't do this. And well, hell, half the stuff we do, somebody else may say, you know what, you shouldn't do that, or this is not right.
You know,
so
I mean, it's just crazy, because you know it's against the law, and I'm not going to name the act, but there is an act that both a lot of men and women enjoy, and they enjoy that it's a sexual act that in a lot of places
is still illegal. Yes. Right. Yes, it is actually, and I know I've seen someone charged with that before, and I was like, where the hell did they find this statute? And it's been on the books for 200-300 years, and it's like, damn. You know, they got the slap on the wrist and told, you know, make sure you keep your damn windows closed when you're doing your business. But at the same time, they even have to go through that. And I was like, what kind of charge is that? You know, you start Googling stuff and then you find out, oh, snap, it is for real. Like, dang.
And there was a time back in society's day that if, and I've done dated both sisters and white girls, and yeah, at least one Hispanic lady, but there was a time that if I, the couple of white girls that I might have dated and everything, if I had even been shown with them, I could have been charged with all kinds of crimes. We ain't even talking about marrying them.
We're talking about just
being in the same space and everything. But you know, I've had the privilege of dating a couple of different kind of folks, but you know, times change. So I'm not going to sit there and argue with somebody if they want to date outside their race, or they want to date within their gender. And you know, there's some people that like redheads, and there's certain people that like, you know, brunettes if they're in certain societies, and I'm not going to argue with that either. Like you said earlier, your preference is your preference, and I personally don't know that I have a particular preference other than them being good people and smart people and classy people. And you know, there's certain things that I may not tolerate in certain relationships, but outside of that, I just think that it's really silly when we try to limit ourselves based on color and creed and traditions. I know that sometimes people expect
right. Very true, man. Very true.
But some people just get caught up on. They get caught up on stupid and everything. So I just don't get it. So we've got another good show. We're going to keep this thing rolling. We're actually not going to make this one go to 4 hours and everything. But Dean, if you want to throw on some music for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll just come back and chit-chat some more. And I'm actually going to reach out on Potty because I did have an author that I reached out to. And I'm going to see if they want to show up or not. And they responded to my email because I just sent them an email back about a day ago and after earlier today. So I'm going to risk out secondly if they want to respond. But if you want to throw on some of the I Love the Music for my good buddies that Nike is involved with, or any of those other folks, and then we'll come back on the other side of the hour and keep this dialogue rolling.
All right, we can do that, man. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to rock that out, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Sounds good.
for having me. Thank you so much.
So, Dean, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother.
Cool. That's good to know and everything. You mentioned earlier that it was raining and everything there in the New Jersey area. But of course, we got those crazy wildfires. I think they're called the Dixie Fires over there in California and everything. But, you know, we still got some folks out there that believe that climate change isn't real.
We got people that believe all kinds of stuff, man. That's why we have some of the issues that we have now, because some people just don't use their brain. Or maybe it just doesn't work anymore.
The brain got turned off?
Turned completely off. Just slow.
The brain got turned off and they sit there going like, nope. Maybe
just
the brain
like,
was replaced. Maybe they had the Frankenstein surgery and the brain was replaced.
Something happened. It didn't work out, though. Didn't work out too well. And it just makes you want to just shake your head, man.
Yeah, you just shake your head. You're going like, did you people not see that the temperatures are changing? Like, it's been a 2-degree change in the temperature over the last several years. And, you know, it's hotter than it's been in most summers. It's been colder than it is in some places, most winters. But, no, we're not impacting the environment because y'all said so. But, you know, there are also still some people. There are also some people out there, and this one scares me because I thought about inviting him on, but I've decided not to this week. I might still do it for next week. But, you know, there are still people out there that literally believe Trump won the election. But I was on this website called, and y'all have one up there too, called Nextdoor. And it's basically like a neighborhood-type deal for Facebook or a Facebook-type site where, you know, you get to find out what your neighbors are doing, if they got dogs for sale or, you know, for sale, or if they got needs for child care, or they got different other kind of things. So it's basically, you know, a more neighborhood-oriented version of Facebook. And, you know, I was actually the administrator of one of those pages, and this guy came on, and he's been posting political stuff. And one of the things he said was that he felt that Trump won in a landslide. I'm sitting there going like, so what alternate universe did you come from that you think that Trump won in a landslide?
So he came from the school of I'm just retarded and I can't help it. That's where that comes from.
Is that school?
You know, when you're mentally slow, you just can't help. You know, you can't help it. You're just dumb.
Yeah,
dumb for no fucking
school.
Reason.
I'm not trying to go to that school because I heard that's a crazy school, and I'm not trying to go to that school just because, you know, I'm not trying to go to the school where the crazies are, but just to have a little fun here, I'm going to actually pull up some of the things that he wrote on this lovely website, and we're just going to have fun with Mr. Guy who wants to talk politics, and maybe I'll even send him a note and say, hey, why don't you come on and defend some of your crazy ideas that you've got and everything, because like I said, I think he just recently moved to town, so first off, he's trying to make friends in a fairly, and actually I would say very liberal, city of Durham, North Carolina. He's trying to make friends by coming onto a site, the Nextdoor site, and like I said, they're all over the country and everything, and basically saying that we're crazy because all of this stuff didn't really happen, because according to him, they won the election and a bunch of other things. So I'm sitting here going like, I really want to know where you bumped yourself at and how you managed to even think that this kind of stuff was going to fly. But apparently he thought it was going to fly, and he thought that people were not going to notice some of the things that he said. And I'm going there like, no, this is just insanity in a new form of insanity. So like I said, he just posted some very interesting and weird things, and I was going like, so you actually believe this? So this is something that you actually believe is real and all of that. But like you said, I'm just shocked at some of the things that people are willing to believe and still believe. And you're sitting there going like, I just don't get it. How did you get this idea that this was going to work and that nobody was going to notice that you apparently have some sort of issues and all of that? But definitely, maybe he just thought that nobody was going to pay attention and give him, a pass. He just thought that a pass was going to happen and he was not going to have people noticing that he was saying some very interesting things and all of that. So here it is. This is what Mr. Puckett, that's the gentleman's name, and this is what he wrote yesterday. Hi, I'm a newbie here. So he actually said that he was a newbie here, and then he mentioned the fact that he thought that Mr. Trump had won the election and all of that. So he felt that Trump had won the election, and not just won, but won by a landslide. So that's what he said in his post and all of that, and I think some of the folks may have already removed the post because they thought that he was a cuckoo bird in the first place. But I was just wondering, do y'all have any of those kind of folks in your town? And if so, how do you deal with them and all of that? Because, yeah, he says, I can't read the whole post. Apparently, I read a part of it. But he said, I'm a newbie here. I'm looking for like-minded people in my area. I believe the 2020 election was a fraud. I believe COVID was intentionally released, and it was a crime against humanity.
Well, you know what? We don't. If there are people like that, I'm at the point now, man. I don't engage in conversations with folks that are not really on that same line of thought as me. So when somebody comes around and they say something like that, it's like, oh, all right. And you kind of walk off from them and keep on going because it's like, you know what? There is no way that I'm going to waste any time, energy, or brain power getting into it with someone who honestly believes some of the things that some people say. Right. So, you know, the first 48 years, yeah, I used to engage in those conversations and go back and forth. The next 48, I am not wasting any time with that because it's just too much, man. You will waste time arguing with someone who y'all will never agree on anything in that respect. So why go back and forth with them? You know what I mean? Some people like it. Some people say, hey, you know, I'm going to tell this person, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind and all stuff. And then when you finish talking, they still don't hear you. They're not hearing you. And they don't really give a damn what you got to say. So what do? Do you continue to argue with these people? Or do you allow stupid to stay stupid and just be, you know, whatever way they want to be? Because you drive yourself nuts, man, trying to get them to see your point of view when they can't see it all.
They're going to be stubborn. They're not going to think about your point of view. They're just going to be stubborn. They're going to be going like, I don't get it, and you can't convince them, and you don't really need it to convince them, because sometimes, like I said, there's just certain arguments that are not worth having and all of that. So definitely that's a true thought that you're having there. I said that I had talked to an acquaintance that's running for city council, and then, you know, we've been having a spike in crime here lately, a crime in particularly shootings and things of that nature. Not like, you know, the overly big spike, but there has been a spike and everything. So if somebody is up there in New Jersey, if you would come down here, what would you say the solution is for small cities to deal with folks that are grabbing guns and having fun just shooting at each other, in some cases killing each other, which is not fun? But what, if you were to put on your NAACP consultant hat and come down to Durham and tell people about how they can alleviate some of the gun problems that exist, what would you recommend that we do here in the big city of Durham?
I wouldn't put on my NAACP hat. I'm going to put on my Keep It Real hat. And what you got to do is push for those laws to be to allow individuals to defend themselves without there being so, you know, a lot of people say, well, you can have a gun, but there's so many rules against how you can use it and what you can't. But if you are able to justify defending yourself or the life of another, that should be the only justification that you need for these folks that don't pay attention to laws, rules, regulations, or anything else. So they're out here just freely existing anyway. You know, they want to say, oh, gun control. But who is the gun control for? Because it's going to limit the law-abiding citizen. The criminals could give a damn about your gun control laws. They're getting rocket launchers and military-grade weapons, and they're not supposed to have those. You wonder how they get them. That's another issue. But they're not afraid to have them, show that they have them, and then use them any way that they see fit. But one thing is for sure, two things for certain. A person will have no problem shooting, but I think they would really reconsider getting shot. You know what I mean? So if they know, well, most folks don't have guns because they're going to follow those little rules and laws saying that what they can and can't do. Well, hell, I don't give a damn about that. I'm a criminal. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. So now I'm out here just doing all kinds of stuff and terrorizing the city. And remember, people have to remember that police do not fight crime. They respond to it. So usually, right. When do you see the police? After incident has taken place. They're not there just magically coming and showing up like Superman and stopping the crime before it happens. The crime actually takes place, then someone calls 911 or calls the police, and the police respond to crime after it has happened. So, like I said, if somebody knew there's an 80% chance that if I pull this gun out, that I'm going to be met with maybe one, two, or more people shooting at me, what's the likelihood of them just going off and saying, you know, we're going to do what we want to do? You know what I mean? So it's going to change... change the way, we got to change the thought process. The same way when police officers do stuff that's not quite right, we'll complain on social media. We'll try to drum up support. We'll march in the street, but we won't talk to the county prosecutors. We won't talk to, you know, having the Justice Department come in and actually take a look at this department to find out what they are doing wrong. So we got to change the thought process, you know. You can march and say stop the violence a million times, but if someone's out there and they believe in turning up the neighborhood and tearing up the neighborhood, they're going to keep doing it. They just will go inside and take a break while everybody else is outside marching and chanting, all right, I'm going to take this day off because I don't want to be outside with them anyway. Yeah, so I get a day to rest, and then they'll be out there for a couple of days, and then they need to get out of my way because if they don't, it's going to be a bad situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't know. I think I was watching social media. It might have been on Facebook or one of the other channels. But I didn't realize that within our community, there are still quite a few African-American gun clubs. So apparently, we've got quite a few. I think one of them was maybe even named after UAP Newton or one of those people. But apparently, there are several African-American gun clubs that are advocating for us to have guns in our community. So like I said, I was just sorting through the internet and found that there are clubs within our community. So do you know of any of those in New Jersey, and are you fans of those gun clubs? Because like I said, I didn't even realize that they existed, and I think I was just flipping through some Facebook news feeds looking for things to talk about on the different shows and everything, and stumbled across that.
I don't know. Maybe it's different for me because at one point I had to be qualified to use and carry one, but I mean, if that makes them, you know, feel better about the situation that's going on, and they're learning how to properly use those weapons and clean those weapons and all that comes with it, then I have no problem with it, you know. But when you just have someone getting together just to go to the range and fire off bullets, if they're doing that, then you're not really learning what you need to learn, because a weapon along with owning one or being entrusted to use one does come a lot of responsibility.
Oh yeah, no doubt. One thing that I learned, and this is not about the guns, but this was actually, we had Barbara H. Smith on the Nick, the founder of International Broadcast Media, on his show Media Monday, but he had Barbara H. Smith on, and Bill Danko, who's a millionaire next door, and Davies, Kay Johnson, and a bunch of other people. But Barbara H. Smith, you know, is a motivational figure and all of that, and I'm going to get her on the show very soon. But they were talking about the mob, and I did not realize, I probably should have known this and everything, but I didn't realize that apparently Merv Griffin, you know, the old talk show host and everything, was very mobbed up. So like I said, the gentleman that mentioned it, and he had news reports about it, but I did not realize that apparently that particular person out of Hollywood legend and history was as mobbed up as apparently he is, so or was. Like I said, I think first passed on, but I did not know that he was as mobbed up as he apparently is. So just wondering, when you hear about celebrities being mobbed up, does it shock you historically, or is that just the norm that you expect?
I don't expect anything because all I want to be is entertained. I don't really care what they do in their personal lives. Hopefully they won't do anything that get them killed. And, you know, I don't, you know, some people will follow certain celebrities and everything they do that they're up, oh, they did this. And I don't really care. Just entertain me. That's all I need you to do. You got one job, to keep me entertained. And after that, if you do something, if your connections lead you down the wrong road, I'm going to kind of say, well, that's the game you chose to play, so that kind of sucks. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But you got to be careful.
Yeah, but they got to be real careful because I know they said that Sammy Davis and the whole, that whole Rat Pack, apparently they were mobbed up and some other folks were as well. So, like I said, you got to be careful where you lay your head. That doesn't just go in relationships. I guess that goes in business as well because you need to make sure that you know what the business partners are doing as well, or not, maybe not what they're doing, but that they're not bringing shade to the business. Like, if what they do in their privacy is on them, but they're not bringing shade to the business that y'all choose to go into jointly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've even had some friends of mine that have talked about wanting to find investors for their movies and their music projects and different other projects that they're in. And sometimes they've even said that they might have to go to the gangbangers and some of the criminal element to get their stuff funded. And I'm always telling them, well, you know, if you do, just make sure that it's not money that they're laundering, that just kind of like use you as a tool to get their own situations and everything. But at the same time, I can't really tell somebody to turn down a $15,000 check if that $15,000 check is going to get their project completed.
Right. That's true.
Because like I said, who am I to tell them not to take the check from, you know, Vito? If Vito's going to cut that $15,000 check and it's actually going to make it work and you ain't got to do nothing personally yourself for Vito. You know, if Vito wants you to do a mule act or something like that, then you might have a problem. But if Vito just says he's going to cut the check as a tax write-off, I don't know about you, but I might personally take the check from Vito if Vito wants to sponsor this show and everything, just as long as Vito ain't expected Dean and Mark to do anything for that in the long run, criminal aspect.
You know what, though? I will have to turn that down, man. All money ain't good money. And if they give you some, anybody that gives you something wants something in return. That's what I've learned in this lifetime. And while the offer may appear good on its face, eventually that boat is going to turn around and they're going to say, you know what? Remember that time when I financed something for you? You know, stakes is kind of high now. You owe me, and I need something from you. You know what I mean?
No, and there was a word that was used very much, and I agree with you, and I hear what you're saying, and that actually makes a lot of sense. And there's a word that Barbara used when she was talking about her speaking engagements that she does on a show that she had not that long ago. And it's a word that we all need to live by, but unfortunately, a lot of us don't always use that word, and that's the word integrity.
Right. Right.
So you got to have some solid integrity. And I also believe that another word that I've heard motivational speakers use on a regular basis is intentionality. So between the integrity and the intentionality, you're right, we would probably stay away from that particular check and try to get a more corporate check that is not going to cause all kinds of headaches. And that being said, if anybody's listening to us right now and they want to sponsor Straight Talk with Dean and Mark, definitely get in touch with me at bluesradio@gmail.com. And Dean, where can they get in touch with you? Because we're not going to argue if people want to provide underwriting and sponsorship. And if there are any corporations out there that want to give their aid as well, we're always looking for good corporate sponsors as well. I'm sure that even me and Dean will not mind dropping a spot in the course of the show. Matter of fact, we have some sponsors. We've not been doing a good job of that lately, so we probably need to drop a Mickey spot and some of those other spots on before we get off at everything, because we've been actually fall asleep on our existing sponsors. So I may get Dean to drop an existing sponsor in there so you can see how it works. But Dean, if they want to do sponsorship, how can they do that? And then maybe we should drop some of those sponsors in there, because I think the last 2 weeks we've not dropped any, and I was actually producing the show because you were on vacation one of those days. So I'm not laying the blame at your feet, because I'm equally guilty. So I'm just going to let folks know that I didn't drop a spot either. So, Dean, how can they reach you? They can reach me at bluesradio@gmail.com, and they can reach you. We're at, and then maybe we'll drop Nikki and some of our other lovely sponsors in so they can see that we can actually drop spots in there.
Well, they will have to reach me at 807media@gmail.com. So, you know, that's the quickest way to get in touch with me, you know, and I'm trying to see where these actually are because they shifted them around. So I'm just going through here to make sure I see what I'm looking for. That's the fun part of this thing. It doesn't have where you could just type it in. Well, it does, but I've never used it, and I'm not sure if it doggone thing works.
Gotcha.
But I found them. So what we're going to do right now is ease into those ads, man, a couple of them, all right? So we'll be back in a second.
Sounds good.
This is Nikki Hall, founder of Simply Radiant LLC, a woman with great passion and skill to make you look and feel better. Meet me where you are. Let's take it to another level, a new you. See you soon. Call 919-971-6243. Make your place today.
Are you enjoying the smoothest conversation in podcasting? Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. Hi, this is DJ Smooth Jazz, syndicated radio host and co-owner of Portfolio Group LLC, your smooth jazz lifestyle and entertainment group with offices in Durham, North Carolina. Portfolio Group LLC specializes in promoting the lifestyle of smooth jazz listeners with the promotion of smooth jazz events and the distribution of African-American-owned wines. For more information, PortfolioGroupLLC.com, or you can swing by my secondary site, DJSmoothJazz.com. Now back to Straight Talk with Dean and Mark.
Bass players, best thing you can do for your overall sound. You've got to see this. New Bass Tone Incorporated makes Nightwalker Bass Guitar Tube Preamps. This preamp will give your sound such a boost, it's just incredible. Try it today. Try it today now. A great-sounding bass guitar will make for a great-sounding band. Make your band sound at its best. Best thing you can do for your bass guitar sound. NewBassTone.com. NewBassTone.com.
Are you looking to make your next event sizzle? Then you want to get in touch with Lee Entertainment. Mark Lee, the founder of Lee Entertainment, has worked with such notable festivals as the Art of Cool, the National Black Theater Festival, the Bull Durham Blues Festival, and the Durham Centerfest, as well as the Festival of the Eno. And definitely can provide you with some great entertainers as well as help you make your event sizzle if you're looking forward to trying to have an event in your town. Mark Lee is willing to travel anywhere in this country to make your event sizzle and has entertainers that are also willing to travel as well. So if you're looking for quality entertainment, definitely get in touch at bluesradio@gmail.com.
Yep, they can definitely do that for the event planning. And they can.
The old Renaissance is the new Renaissance, standing on tradition while embracing the spirit of distinction. This is the Harlem Brewing Company. Uniquely crafted beer brewed to deliver a taste, a sound, and a feeling that can only be described one way, Harlem style. So come and take a trip on the A-Train with our Harlem Sugar Hill Golden Ale and our Harlem Renaissance Whiskey, the neighborhood original.
Mm-hmm. That's about all of them.
Sounds
right
good.
There.
Yeah, that's all of them. But we can add some more if people are willing to get in touch with us, and we'll stop there. As in there as well. And definitely, you know, because of COVID, we've learned how to not just do physical events, but virtual events as well. So if they want to do a virtual event, we can make that happen also. So I add that as an amendment to mine and everything. But definitely the rest of them all fit, and they're all amazing businesses, and their business can be part of it as well. We're going to get Dean to drop in a spot for his company because he's got his own company as well as one for his wife's company. As well, because she's doing some amazing things up there in New Jersey. So we need her to drop a couple of spots in there also so we can give that love some time doing the show as well. Because sometimes I'm so engaged in the interviews that I forget to take those breaks. So I do need to remember, even in the interview courses, add them also.
Mm-hmm. So we'll eventually get it done. You know, it's going to take, we'll get it done.
Oh, yeah, we'll get it done. Slow process, a little bit at a time, a little bit here, one part there, but it will get done and all of that. But it will definitely get done and get done efficiently and well. So that will be a great thing and all of that. You said y'all had storms. Has it been hot up there? Because we actually were hot, and then we had a cool spell, and then we had some storms earlier, including some storms that might have put some hail around parts of North Carolina. And I think they're talking about the temperature slowly creeping back up because we are already in August, and we know that August loves to be hot. But as of right now, it's not too bad and all of that, but that's what's going on in this neck of the woods. So definitely I'm curious to see what your weather looks like, and I think that I've got a new complaint that I'm going to start lodging and everything, not about our show, but as we were doing the shows and everything, I also ordered some food, and DoorDash and the other people, you know, they always seem to forget your drinks. I don't know what it is about people and the drinks, but they always want to leave out something. So maybe I'm not tipping enough, and maybe they're just trying to get back at me for not tipping enough. So if you don't tip, I think they leave out your drink. So this is a markedly warning shot to let folks know that if you don't give them enough of a tip, then maybe they drink the drink themselves. So I don't know if that's what happened, but I know I'm going to go online after we're done and be like, oh, missed my drink. Everything else was good, but the drink was not to be found.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a good look right there. You're waiting for your food or your drink.
Looking for everything. You're looking for that drink, you know, that because that capped it off. You know, that gives you the taste to wash it down with, and you're going like, there's no drink. That means I got to go to the corner store to get a drink. And, you know, not even like an alcoholic drink. Just a, I think it was a, like one of those sodas that they have, like a fruit soda or something like that. I'm going like, yeah. It wasn't rocket science to grab it, but apparently they missed it and all of that. So what is your, since we're on this and we're talking about it on the air and everything, what is your customer service gripe? What is the one thing that when it happens, whether it's delivery or whether it's you going to the store, is your one gripe that really gets on your nerves with your service workers, whether that's a clerk or a store or a store owner or a restaurant waitress or whatever, but what is the one service gripe that gets on your nerves that you really don't like?
People that don't listen. And my voice is not, you know, it's not, it's deep, but it's not turned down. So, you know, if I say, can I have such and such? And they're like, can you have? And I'm like, you heard what the fuck I said. You know, like, give me my shit, man. I'm asking you for something. And you, here you go asking me, either you need to take the wax out of your ears, or I don't know, you know, what the problem is, but I know I didn't stutter. So now give it to me. Or if I'm at the dead gone, like you go to the drive-thru. And I just posted about this the other day. Now, you ask for egg and cheese biscuit, and you get home and it's some damn Canadian bacon on it. Now me, I don't have a problem with eating a Canadian bacon, but I was getting this for somebody else.
Right.
So how do you know? I'm like, I know you heard me, but you're so busy saying, would you like anything else? Will you let me finish what the fuck I'm saying before you ask another question? Wait for the dead silence before you open your mouth. And so then, you know, by that point, you go around there to pay, and they're looking at you strange. I'm like, don't look at me strange. Just shut up. And then when the dead silence comes, it's your turn to talk. It's not your turn to talk while I'm still talking. Because, you know, I just get to the point where I'm like, and you want $15 an hour. How about 15 kicks to the butt? Because you keep fucking talking while I'm trying to order my food. Now tell me what I ordered since you're so busy running your fucking mouth. And that's how I feel. You know, I'm trying to work on my cursing, man, but it just doesn't work like that. They just keep giving me a reason to cuss them out.
Sometimes they give you that reason to cuss them out. Speaking of reasons to cuss them out, I was once again listening on Clubhouse and everything, and I did not realize that a certain very rich person, I'm going to mention this person in a minute and everything, that they ordered the same thing every day, because they were talking about how sometimes the best thing that some of the most successful people do is that they actually get into a routine, whether it's a routine that works for them, because they know that they're going to do that same thing every day, so they don't have to worry about like that being part of their routine. So the point that the person was making was that this particular rich person. Apparently, his wife sets aside $2.97, and they go every morning to a restaurant. Notice I said this was a rich person, and they set aside $2.97, and they go to, I forget which restaurant has the Egg McMuffin. I think that's McDonald's. But they go and get an Egg McMuffin and, like, a soda, and it costs the same thing, which is $2.97 all the time. But that is part of their routine, so, of course, they don't have to worry about trying to figure out what they're going to do for breakfast and all of that, because they know that every morning they're going to go get this $2.97 meal, basically what it amounts to. I think it's OJ and the Egg McMuffin or something along those lines. And apparently that is the menu that Warren Buffett uses every day. So I'm talking one of the richest men in the world spends $2.97 for his breakfast.
He's a smart man. He's not out there buying $150 gold sprinkle eggs and shit like some people would do if they had, give them $1 million and watch how it changes. They go from eating fried bologna to porterhouse steaks every day. And it's like, dude, you want to, you know, do you want to spend all your money or do you want to be normal about it? And some people would say, oh, he's cheap, but he will never have to worry about a bill getting paid. He would never have to worry about, you know, trying to come up with some money to go on vacation or anything like that. He gets to do what he wants to do. And what he wants to do is get that $2.97 meal. I'm not mad at him.
I'm not mad at him either. Like I said, I was impressed in the fact that they said that it was one of the other things they said it did was that it frees him up from decision making. Because one of the other people that was speaking, I forget what his name is, I think he was like a big car dealer in New York City, was that he said that he pretty much goes to the same five restaurants all the time, because that also eliminates him having to make that decision as to where, you know, what restaurant am I going to, where, how much am I going to spend. But this particular gentleman was saying that pretty much he goes to the same five restaurants, and he actually was talking about an incident that happened where he was having a business meeting where he didn't go to one of the five restaurants, and basically the way it was described, it almost sounded like it was a nightmare, because one, he didn't know that restaurant, two, the people that had invited them there, they were eating outside in, like, the crowded New York City. So he was, like, getting, you know, certain odors from coming from sewers and other things that he didn't necessarily want as part of his eating environment. He did say that they eventually went inside the restaurant, and it was a good business meeting. But part of the point that he was making was that sometimes routine is a good thing, because it eliminates thought patterns that can be time-consuming, and therefore you don't have to and you can devote that time to being productive. That was kind of the point he was making, was you can devote that time to being productive. Because I think he said those same five restaurants he went to were all within, like, maybe a 15 to 20-minute radius and all of that. So he's, like I said, you know, he knows at lunchtime, and I don't know what the five restaurants are, but let's say he knows he's going to hit an Applebee's or a Ruby Tuesday's and maybe even a McDonald's and maybe a high-end restaurant or whatever. But he knows that those are his five restaurants. So he's not really having to worry about trying to figure out every morning, where am I going to eat at?
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that, because now you're saving your brain power for something worthwhile.
Exactly. That was the point he was making. He was saving his brain power for going out there and making some more money in the car dealership and some of the other, like, maybe hobbies that he had and things of that nature. So it definitely made a lot of sense to me, because it was actually, I think the room was called the Millionaire Club or something like that. But it was some of the tactics that these rich folks were given seemed very basic, but they're so common sense that too often we as regular people don't even think about them. And then when you're hearing them, you're going like, that just makes total sense. But it also is something that the average person, when they hear it, they're going to be like, well, he must be a cheapskate. But, you know, they're going to try to belittle it and not realize that, hey, that person is making 100, if not 1,000 times more than you're making. Maybe you need to listen to some of what their advice is, instead of trying to, like, belittle their advice and slam the advice. If they can get by off of the same five restaurants and a $2.97 Egg McMuffin meal, then maybe you need to consider doing some of that same thing instead of rushing off and getting the $20 meal.
Yeah, that's true.
But sometimes you don't even just think about that. They just think that, you know, they hear these tips that folks give them, and they don't want to give them credit. And some of the tips are very basic, because what was that book that was very popular, and it's got a lot of truisms in it. But a lot of the successful people, I think, have read that book, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And a lot of that is very true. The basics of what we need, not just to survive, but to thrive, are in lessons that we learned way back when we were kids if we would just follow those rules.
Right.
But too often we're sitting there going like, nah, that's not something we should even think about or things along those lines. What is Dean? And when we're winding down, and then we'll tell them where else they can find us. And I never did hear back from Mr. Author. So Mr. Author gets one more shot next week. And I'm still working on your friend as well. So we will definitely have guests next week. But what other advice would you give to people just in general, if you could think of advice that you learned either from a book or from life in general, or maybe even somebody taught it to you, because I know sometimes we get folk sayings that we also love as well. But is there a particular advice that you got either from a book or an individual that you still carry to this day?
You know what? I kind of say it at the end of every show, and I'll say it again after, you know, when I get ready to close up. But that's my one biggest thing. And the other thing is, you know, when you focus more on yourself rather than worrying about what everybody else is doing, then you're able to go ahead and make some good things happen. You know, other than that, you know, I don't have a whole bunch of, I don't know what you call it, isms or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, just take it day by day and try to work on being the best you that you can be. And in the process, you're going to come across good people, too, you know.
Yeah, that's the good thing, is be the best you can be and try to find the good in people wherever you can. I mean, there's some people that are blatantly evil that you can't find good in, but there are not as many of them in the world as there are the good people in my mind. But definitely there are some people out there that you just recognize them as being not part of the good tribe, so you just try to stay away from them because you recognize that they got some evil issues. So like I said, you know, you got some issues, definitely some people got some evil issues and all of that. So I think if you run across them, it's best just to, you know, not be in their circle. Or if you can't avoid their circles, try to limit the circles as much as possible.
Get yourself away from them, because you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be around them.
I guess the counter to that, and what people sometimes ask me, is that you say you don't have to be around them, but what do you do if they're in your work environment? Because you do have to work the job, and the rest of the job is going well. So sometimes those people are in your work environment or your school environment if you're in school, or sometimes they're even in your family. So sometimes you have to go in and still deal with them because they are in areas of your life that are part of your life.
Being in my work environment and me having to discuss anything with you are two totally different things. I don't have, just because you're in the work environment, some people feel compelled that they have to, you know, they're there, so I have to deal with them. No, you don't. And that's the thing, like, get out of your own way. You're not compelled to do anything except breathe, answer the questions, and do your job. And past that, you know, all that extra conversation, I've never been a fan of that anyway. It doesn't matter who it is. How was your weekend? None of your fucking business. You weren't with me, you know, and it may sound rude, but people are generally nosy. So then when you give them too much information, they end up, you become the topic of conversation. Say you go and you go on a trip and you go out of town. Next thing you know, somebody's like, oh, how you feel? You went on your trip? You know, and I'm like, man, I don't do things for, you know, like, everybody doesn't need to know my business. So outside of work, those who know. Those who don't. And I don't feel bad with not sharing it. How was your weekend? It's over. Now we're back here. You know, you never directly answer the question. I said, I directly answered the question. Now, I can answer it in a totally different tone. And trust me, you're not going to like that response. I'm trying to keep it on the PG level. It's none of your business. You know, like, I didn't come ask you how your weekend was or what you're going to do when you get off work tonight. You want to know why? Because I don't care. You know what I mean? I have life to live. And I'm not going to spend it asking you what you're doing and be fakely concerned, if that fakely is a word. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't do it, man. It's just, it extends conversation on stuff that I don't want to talk about. Me? No. I'm not the topic of conversation. Now, if you want to talk about something, I need you to make a donation to the Baby Buns for Life Network, and they help with children who are prematurely born and that spend time in the neonatal units in hospitals. You know, you want to do something for me? Send a donation to that 501c3. The donations are tax deductible. And people say, well, you say that all the time. I'm like, yeah, because that's more important than finding out what I'm going to do when I get off of work. It's none of your business. But what you can do is help those families who are dealing with children. Like my nephew was born at 13 ounces. He's about 70-some, maybe about 60-some pounds now. He's born at 13 ounces. And, you know, he was so small, he fit in my hand, in a grown man's hand. So to see him grow now and to see him, you know, still has some complications, but to see him alive and to see him be able to smile and, you know, those things right there, man, mean everything. So, yeah, if y'all want to make a donation, it's called Baby Buns, the number 4, Life Network.
Ooh, definitely do that and everything. At some point, I'm going to have to get you, because, you know, I'm always channeling people to different things and everything. But at some point, we're going to have to jump on, and I know you jumped on Russ's show, and Russ has been there as well. And by the way, Russ has been fighting COVID lately, so Russ has been going through some COVID battles and all of that, but he's on his, I think, day 5 of quarantine and all of that. And I want to say it was even after the vaccination, so, you know, breakthrough situations are real, but it does seem like the last I heard that he was on the road to recovery and all of that. But I met Russ through Brian and Tim, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the show, but Brian actually allows me to talk about things that he was involved with because we've become friends and all of that. But Brian is actually probably in his, I want to say 40s, late 30s, early 40s and everything, and is considered one of the top LinkedIn influencers of the world and everything. But Brian was actually born with Tourette syndrome, so he would actually be able to identify with your nephew because he is was born basically as a being able to be held in the palm of a grown woman's hand, and I guess a grown man's hand too. I'm not sure what the relationship is with his dad. I know he's very close to his mom and all of that, but he was born in that situation and is now considered one of the top speakers in the country and a top LinkedIn influencer. So if people are thinking about making a donation to the organization that Dean is talking about, know that you can go through that as a preemie and still have a tremendous amount of success. And Brian Schulman is a testimony to that. And I know that every Wednesday he does What's Up Wednesday on LinkedIn, and every Saturday he does a Shout Out Saturday. And part of that is also the celebration of his childhood and just childhood in general, because he encourages people to come on, particularly on the Saturday show, and share their stories about their favorite cereal, where they've done beach vacations at, and also their favorite cartoons. And of course, everybody's interested in hearing some of the cartoons because people have been talking about Tom and Jerry and the Flintstones and definitely, you know, the Supercats and, well, not Supercats as much, but definitely some of the classic cartoons that are out there, and whether they were Disney or whether they were anime or a number of other types of cartoons. And of course, all kinds of cereals, everything from Fruit Loops to Cocoa Puffs to Kellogg's and Tony the Tiger and all of that. But he definitely does that. And he also has the lip sync battle. And the last lip sync battle, because I don't know if they did one last week, but the last one actually featured me and Tim Sohn going up against Brian and Nancy. And Nancy is also a survivor as well. As a youngster, I think she's been on the show. If not, I need to invite her. But she was involved in, you know, going through abuse and the things along those lines that was laid out by her family and all of that. So definitely there was the Team Bancy against Team Tark, Tark being Timothy and myself. And we still claim we want to do when you talk trash and everything. So Team Bancy, if y'all are listening right now, we want. So don't try to claim that y'all won. We won and all of that. But it was a great competition, and we did do kind of like the Battle Royale and then the Battle Royale remix. Because the first time I chose B-52s, they chose a Rihanna song, the B-52 song that I chose was Love Shack, and they chose one of Rihanna's more current songs and everything. And if you said the title, I'd probably know it. I think it had love in the title and everything. But I felt that their song was a little bit easier to do lyrically because the lyrics aren't as complicated as B-52. So I said, if we're going to have a true competition, it's got to be two rounds because I need y'all to sing our song and we'll sing your song. So like I said, you can go back and watch LinkedIn Live the Wednesday from, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before and the Wednesday before that. And they should, well, in fact, there was some stuff going on with Tim Cell, so it would have been three Wednesdays before that. So one Wednesday in August, and I think the other Wednesday was in July. And they should be able to see those competitions, and you can be the judge as to who won. But for right now, Mark, since I'm part of Team Tark, you're saying we won. So Nancy and Brian, if y'all are listening, we won. So like I said, I may have Dean come on, and I may bring him on a Saturday, or because I know Zach's been on a couple of times with me and everything. So I may have Dean come on, and maybe Brian will bring up the rerun, and we can have somebody that can be considered neutral make the judgment. But I, Dean is my friend and everything, so I might have to pay him a little extra as a bribe, but I'm going to try to make it so that we still won. So Team Tark won, and we will do anything to hold on to our title.
I hear that, man. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with a little good fun and all of that. So like I said, that is an element that they started doing. And actually, there's a brother out of Atlanta that I'm going to try to get on the show very shortly. But he is a singer-musician, but his day trade job is as an insurance salesperson. So he's a really cool guy named Daryl Perry, and he's down there in Atlanta. I know he listens to us, and he also listens to some of the other things that we have going on the network, both the audio version as well as the video streaming version, and he is a fan. So definitely want to give Daryl a shout-out as well. So just want to give Mr. Perry a shout-out. But he actually was one of three people that got together to do the theme music for the lip sync battle, because they call it the lip sync battle, and it features the music of Daryl Perry doing a rap, because he does a rap in addition to singing. So he actually does a rap on top of the young lady singing. I think it's actually two ladies that are singing. I might actually have to have them download the audio so that we can play it over here as well. But it's a great video and all of that, so definitely give them a shout out. And speaking of shout outs, and then I know we're wrapping up, I also want to shout out my friends that are part of the Daybreaker community. Our song was released recently, so that song that I told you that I helped co-write along with several other people, probably close to 100 or so of us, we all chipped in our lyrics and our thoughts and everything, and that song was released about a week and a half ago. So definitely you can find the new theme song that Daybreakers is using, and it's basically about being the Joy Generation. So the title of the song is The Joy Generation, and I was a co-writer of that song, so it is out there in the internet world as well. And we're trying to put it out as many social media platforms and tell as many people about it as possible, because we want it to move up to number one, because definitely we know that number one things can happen, because Brian has written a book really quickly about things that he learned from Think and Grow Rich, which, you know, is that classic motivational book written by Napoleon Hill way back in the day and everything. And he wrote, it was one of 33 authors, I believe it is, including Michelle Cameron Coulter, a past Olympian, and a number of others that wrote basically, it's going to be a 13-book series, but this particular part is certain lessons that they learned from that book, and I think that they learn them in different categories. Like, you know, one may be about love, another may be about inspiration. I forget what this one is, but that book is on the bestseller list. And Rufus Stevens wrote with one of his daughters, Connie Johnson, Cation, that is also number one as well. And that book is about some secrets that educators and parents can learn about how to put up with their kids and all of that. So among our associates, we've got the people that are writing Amazon bestsellers and doing that as well. So I want to give both of them a shout out. So look up Rufus Stevens on LinkedIn as well as Connie Johnson, and you'll hear about their book and everything. And you can also find them on Instagram on Daddy Daughter Book. So Daddy Daughter Book and all of that is how you can find them on Instagram. But definitely some great things that our associates are doing as well. So got to keep them going. And at some point, we got to write a book about how we created this crazy show that we do and this crazy network. So we got to get our book out at some point as well. But that might be 10, 15 years down the line. But me and Dean will get together and figure out how we'll write it and tell all the, well, I don't know, we're going to tell all the secrets, because that would destroy kind of the fun. But we may reveal a thing here or there. But we've got to keep some of the secrets and some of the secret sauce secret because we don't want to have everybody take it. Right, D?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Exactly. But it's been a fun conversation. Like I said, I was trying to line up those secrets, but I also was doing the Olympic coverage. But that is done. I am so glad that that is done. It was fun doing the Olympic coverage for international broadcast media, but it literally meant between me and Wynn, we had to find different things to talk about in the Olympics and also different historical facts to find out about the Olympics, which actually Wynn did most of that research. But it was still good conversations and all of that. But now that that's behind me, and I don't know of any other big plans until the Winter Olympics in terms of special events, because Centerfest will not be happening this year, so I don't think I have any street festivals, and I'm still waiting to hear from Brother Captain about the Road to the Apollo, but with new variants, I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. So I get to devote my time to finding great guests for me and Dean, primarily me, but the great guests for us to have on this show and to talk to and all of that. So, Dean, if I've been a little bit behind the eight ball and not pulling off those great guests that you're used to, that was because of the Olympic coverage. It's done, so I can actually concentrate on us and the streaming shows, because I'm sure the streaming shows were also feeling a little lacking as well. So now that we got the Olympics behind us, we can concentrate on doing the follow-up with the guests, because I know I was still sending emails, but I may not have been doing as much follow-up, but now I can stay on them for days on end, so that by Thursday or Friday, I can be like, hey, Dean, we got so-and-so, and we'll know who the guests are and all of that. If I've been a little bit behind that in the last couple of weeks, my sincere apologies as my business partner in this venture, but know that we're going to go back into the A-game again.
Understood, man, and it happens, you know, and time goes by and things, other things happen, which kind of had to take priority for a certain time, and it depends on, you know, what you have going on and different things like that. You got, man, what, you got four shows and this one?
Something like that, right.
So, you know, you stay busy in this medium and in this space right here. You know, my responsibilities are starting to increase on some other things. We'll talk about that stuff, but, you know, like, it happens, you know what I mean? And,
oh, yeah.
And we see what we can do to kind of keep going and make things happen in the way that we are able to, you know what I mean? But we're going to close it out right now, y'all. It's Straight Talk with Dean and Mark, Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to catch the replays on the Skyhawk Radio Network tomorrow afternoon and Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you miss those, then we do have replays on Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Spotify, Spreaker, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, CastBox, PodFollow, Deezer, GeoSaving, and right here on Blog Talk Radio, where we are a part of the Level Podcast Network. You can catch other shows like The Black Girl's Guide to Surviving Menopause, The Chef Gang Radio Show, Funk from the Front Seat, Funk Music with Zach, Learning Unwrapped, Less K-12 Better, Marketing with Rush, a.k.a. hashtag Russ Selfie, Mona Shake and the Minority Reports, Mullings, Music and Memories with Mark Lee, The Online Dinner Party with Mark Lee, The Plant a Good Seed Podcast, The Reinvention Road Trip, She's on Call, The Just Podcast, The Mark Lee Show, The Spin It Social Hour, Virginia Interfaith Live, WNC Original Music, and of course, Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. Now, like I always say, when you walk outside your front door, it's showtime in the world of your stage. Just make sure that people are not watching the rehearsal. With that being said, it's the six-man Dean Geronimo. Have an outstanding week. And as always, we see y'all in 7 days.
That's right. We'll see them in 7 days with a great guest. And we'll find out who that is, but definitely try to line up some great conversation and some great guests and all of that. And by the way, Dean, I keep having people asking me, because, you know, they're looking on social media and everything, and they're going like, who is that Mark Lee guy? He seems like he's always on the internet. I don't know how he's always on the internet, but he seems like he lives there. I think he's actually in the internet, but I think he lives in there, is what they told me.
They'll find you, right?
That's right.
I hear that.
And on that note, we're going to get on out of here.
Yes, yes. Peace.
Peace.